I want to talk to us about the wilderness season and the necessity of the wilderness season. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1, tells us that to everything there is a season. Everybody say a season. It doesn't say to some things. It says to everything there is a season. God works in processes. God has a plan. God has steps that He's ordered for us. And to everything there is a season. And then it goes on to say that there is a time. Everybody say a time. A time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, sometimes I think our frustration and our fear and our anxiety many times in our lives is born of ignorance. Because the Bible says that we perish for lack of knowledge. And so many times in our life, we're wanting things to unfold in a way that's not God's way. And we're wanting them to work out on a timetable that's not God's timetable. But if we can know and we can understand the processes of God, how many of you know that if we can know why so many times, if we know, then we can handle things so much better. And it's so important for us that we're not ignorant, that if we have knowledge and understanding of the truth of God's word, then how many of you know that we can take the steps, we can follow the processes that God has for us. You know, many times I think we make following the Lord a lot more difficult than it's really supposed to be. But God has made things very practical. And if you read the New Testament, you see over and over again, Jesus painting these pictures for us that helps us see something in a very simplistic way. And one of the things that we can see over and over again throughout the Word of God is that there are seasons in our lives. There are seasons in life. You don't have to look very far around us to see that in nature there are seasons. God has established things to work in seasons. We're in a very hot season right now. But isn't it good to know that this season is temporary? That this season wasn't intended to last forever. Neither are the seasons in our life intended to last forever. One season is supposed to transition into the next season. Talk to a farmer and a farmer understands that there are seasons and that every season is necessary to reach the end goal. Every season is necessary. There are seasons to prepare the ground. Preparation is of necessity if we're going to grow a good crop. And preparation of the ground. There are seasons where all you got to do is get out there with a pick and a shovel and an axe and some elbow grease and you got to go to work on the ground, right? You understand what I'm saying? You got to prepare the ground. Seasons of preparation. You can't skip the season of preparation to get into the season of planting. Because if you jump into the season of planting without the season of preparation, then the seed is not ever going to produce. There are seasons of preparation, seasons of planting, then seasons of tending to what has been planted. That's a season where you don't see a thing. Oftentimes it's a season where you don't do a whole lot except wait and believe. How many of you know it takes faith to be a farmer? It takes faith for us greenhorns too that just plant flower seeds in the flower bed, right? You plant it, you prepare, then you plant it, and then you what? You cover it, and you don't see anything happening. How many of you know that there are seasons in our life where we've planted the promises of God, and we've planted our faith, and then there's a season where we don't see anything happening? But it's a necessary season, the season of tending to what has been planted. You fend off the dogs and don't let them dig up the seed, right? You pull up the weeds. You make sure it's watered and it's tended to. There are seasons of tending. Then there's seasons of growth. As you begin to see that little thing spring forth out of the ground. And so many times we're like, this isn't what I'm believing for, God. And God's saying, it's okay. It's growing. It's growing. I asked the early service I'm not a real vegetable guru on how all that works. I didn't grow up on a farm. But, you know, how many of you have eaten gas tomatoes? You know what a gas tomato is? A gas tomato is when tomatoes are out of season, they pick them while they're green and they're not ready yet. Anybody ever ate a green tomato not ready yet? Well, somebody likes fried green tomatoes, but whatever. But they pick them before they're ready. They pick them before they're ready. Many times in our lives, we want God to hurry up and we're not willing to wait. And we charge ahead and things aren't ready. How many know it's important for us to walk out the season of growth? So what they do is they take those tomatoes while they're green. And right before they put them out of the back, out on the shelves, so that us consumers will come and get them, they gas them with carbon dioxide and they ripen them up real quick. And that's why they don't taste very good. The good tomatoes, my daddy tells me, are vine-ripened tomatoes. It's tomatoes that are left on the vine, pulling their life from the source, from the root. It bringing in the life until that fruit has developed fully and it is flourishing on the vine. That's a season of growth. God calls us to seasons of growth. And then there comes the season of harvest. See, God is a seasonal God, and every season builds upon the other season. And in our lives, we look at our lives and we see our life as one big a journey from beginning to end and fulfilling God's purpose for my life. That's kind of the macro vision of it, seeing the big picture. But the big picture is fulfilled by many little journeys. The big journey is made up of very little journeys, all pieced together, season after season, preparation to harvest, and that little journey placed together with the next one and the next one and the next one. And many times we're looking so far down the road and we're wanting all of this to happen, and God's saying, just let my seasons produce in your life. God is a God of seasons. And every one of them is important. And I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about one that we're not real excited about. And that is the wilderness season. The wilderness season, and how when it comes in our lives, if we can understand what is taking place in the wilderness season, then we can embrace it. Do you know God's intention for us is to embrace every season? Pastor Elaine preached a sermon many years ago that the title of it stuck with me, or the truth of it stuck with me. She said, find the joy in every season of life, what she was talking about. She was talking about when you're a teenager, don't rush to get out of school. And when you're in college, don't rush to get married. And when you're married, don't rush to have children. And when you have children, don't rush to get them out of the house. You know what I'm saying? We don't know how to enjoy the seasons of life. God intended for every season of our life to bring great joy to us. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not hard and that they don't require work and all of those kinds of things. But he intends for us to enjoy the seasons of life. And when we know the truth and we understand the process and we embrace the season, it makes all the difference. Because unlike natural seasons, we don't have any control over natural seasons. The seasons in this world, be it summer, be it fall, be it winter, be it spring, those seasons change without us having anything to do with it. God's in control of all that. And it's amazing how that happens. But seasons in our life, we do have a part in how long they last. Do you know that? Everything that God has engaged humanity in, He's given us all responsibility. And we have a part of the process. Now, I don't think that we can compress and make it shorter than what it needs to be, but we can sure make seasons in our life longer than they're supposed to be. And so what we want to do is we want to be people that are led by the Spirit, and that we can embrace the season that we're in, and we can let that season have its perfect work in us. See, a farmer knows that if he's ever going to get to the point where he can reap his harvest, that it's going to take some things. And in our life, it's going to take some things like commitment, some things like diligence, some things like perseverance, some things like faith. How many of you know that we've got to have those things if we're going to process through from the beginning to the end. How many of you are determined that you're going to have what God wants you to have and that you're going to become what God wants you to become? And I don't want to stay stuck in a season. See, our lives are comprised of many different parts. I know that you know this. We have areas of our life that we have to learn and grow and mature in relationships. We have stewardship in our life, knowing how to steward our time and our finances and those types of things. We got to learn and grow and mature and pursue the will of God and the purposes of God for us being on planet Earth. We have all these different areas of our life. And there's some areas in all of our lives where we have allowed the process to work for us. And we've moved to deeper places and to greater maturity levels. And we've seen harvest come in our lives. But how many of you know you can have one area that's blossoming with fruit and have other areas that are dried up and of no good? So God wants to help us in all the areas of our life become what it is that He's called us to become. And we talk about the wilderness in the video that was opening there. It was referring to the children of Israel and how the children of Israel, God brought them out of Egypt. How many of you, God's brought you out of some stuff? He brought them out, but He didn't just bring them out. He brought them out because He was going to bring them into somewhere else. Aren't you thankful that God takes us out of some stuff because He wants to bring us into some much better stuff? In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, if you have your little notes that were in your bulletin, you can follow along on your notes there, or you can watch on the screen. Exodus 3:8 says this. It says, "So I have come to deliver them," this is God talking about His people, "out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land." How many of you know that is the plan that God has for all of our lives? In every arena of our life. When Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and life more abundantly," He's talking about the good land, the promised land, the large land. And that's there for many of us. And we're here, but to get from here to there, how many of you know most of the time it's going to incorporate going through the wilderness? He brought them out of bondage to take them into the promised land, a good and a large land, to a land that is flowing of milk and honey. God desires to bring us out so that He can bring us in. See, all of us have a there that we would like to arrive at in different areas of our life that God is calling us to. The problem is that we're here, and to get to there, it involves a process. I would say this, that the promises of God, every one of the promises of God, are an invitation from God to begin a process. Would you say that? That the promises of God are an invitation to begin a process. What we would like to do is we would like to get up in the morning and get a promise from God and throw it in the ground. And then when we come home from work that evening, expect everything to have happened. But how many of you know that promise is an invitation to God's process? It's an invitation to walk it out according to God's design and to God's plan. And for the children of Israel, and for any other person that you want to look at in the Word of God who went from here to there, they all had to go through a wilderness season. Think about Moses. Before he became the great deliverer, where did God find him and where did God prepare him and where did God talk to him? It was in the backside of the wilderness. You think about David, and as he was anointed to be king, right? In front of all of his brothers. He was anointed to be king. And he got up the next morning, and what did he have to do? He had to go back to the wilderness. You think about Joseph. Joseph was given a dream, and Joseph was given a prophetic promise over his life that he would rule and he would reign. And how many years did he spend in a wilderness season, in and out of that type of season in his life? You even think about Jesus. The Bible says before he began his 3.5 years of earthly ministry, the Bible says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he confronted the devil. See, we have to understand that God has a process, and we have to take the promise of God, the Word of God, and we have to understand that there has to be preparation of the ground, that there has to be a planting of the seed. The Bible says that unless that seed falls into the ground and what? We need to do a teaching. Okay, the seed falls into the ground and dies. Either we don't know it or we're asleep, so one of the two. But unless the seed falls into the ground and dies, what's going to happen? It's just going to only be a seed. That's all it's going to ever be. But if it falls into the ground and dies, then what happens? There is a law that God put into place in the natural and in the spiritual. And what happens is as that thing dies, it begins to what? Germinate. And then what happens? The scripture says, but if it dies, it will produce much grain or it will bear much fruit. But it comes out of the wilderness season. See, the wilderness season for us is not a geographical place. For the children of Israel, it was a geographical place. As they were traveling from Egypt to the promised land, they had to go through the wilderness. But for us, it's not necessarily a geographical place, but sometimes it can be, where you're in a place and that place for you is a wilderness. But the wilderness season in our life is that part of the journey that looks most unlike the destination that we're searching for. The promise of God that we're believing for, the destination that we're reaching for. And when we find ourselves in a place that doesn't look anything like it, where the enemy begins to speak to us and tell us that it just ain't going to work for you, that this is all just a bunch of hooey, that God's not for you. Why are you trying that faith thing, that wilderness season where it doesn't seem like it could ever happen? That is what I want to talk to you for a few moments about this morning. The wilderness season. First thing we got to know about the wilderness season is that the wilderness is a place of preparation. Number one in your notes. The wilderness is a place of preparation. See, God is all about preparation. Not us so much. We don't like preparation. I was telling them in an early morning service this morning. If we're going to go somewhere and we're going to do something, I'm going to do everything else I can until I can't delay it anymore to pack my suitcase. Because I do not like to pack my suitcase. I do not like to take the time to think it through, to plan what it is I'm going to have to wear and whether it's going to be hot or cold or all the different things, and then fold them all up and put them in the most smallest package that I can and get ready to go. That's called preparation. None of us really like preparation, but how many of you know if you're going to go on a journey, there's some preparation that has to be done. See, God is a God that understands what is needed. And God understands that we need to be prepared. And so he is, as we were talking about this morning, he is a loving father. And a loving father is not going to send us on a journey without preparing us for that journey. He is all about preparing. The scripture says this. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What that scripture is telling us is this, is that the most important part of the whole building is the foundation. It's not the one that people see in the end. It's not the one that's the most fun to put together as we're digging in the dirt and you're doing all of those kinds of things. But the foundation is of utmost importance if what you're going to put on top of it is going to be able to stand and weather the test of time. So the wilderness season that God allows us to come into is a season of preparation because God knows that we need preparation. How many of you know that Joseph was prophetically promised to be the ruler, to be in the palace, but he wasn't yet prepared for the palace? See, David was anointed to be king, but he wasn't ready yet for the throne. He had to go through seasons of preparation. The children of Israel weren't ready for the promised land. They needed the wilderness. And it's no different for you and I. All of us in our life need the wilderness season. My hope is that by the end of this message that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us that every season that God brings us into and brings us through will be seasons that we can embrace. In the book of James, it says, count it all joy. It says, count it all joy when we come into those types of seasons of preparation, seasons of challenges. Because what? It's working something in us. God is working something in us in the wilderness season. You know, when The children of Israel came out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. You know, how many of you use the map program on your phone? Anybody do that? Like if you're going somewhere? I was talking early service about the fact that, you know, used to the way we would do it, if you were going to go from here to there, you had to get the atlas out and you had to kind of plan your route because it's important to know how you're going to get somewhere if you're going to get there, right? But now this day and time, you know, it doesn't take as much preparation. You can type in current location, Cairo, Egypt, destination, promised land, and you can say, map my route. And you can map the route. And if they could have done that back then, what they would have seen was that to get from Egypt to get to the promised land, it really wasn't that far. It really, depending on who you read, they say anywhere from 3 to 11 days of walking distance. But how many of you know that 11 days turned into 11 months, which turned into 11 years, which turned into a lifetime for many of them who never even left that season in their life? See, we have a lot to do with whether or not we move beyond the season that we're in. God wants the season of preparation to have its perfect work in our lives, so He can move us to the next season in our lives. But God is working deep things in our lives in the wilderness season. He's working things in our hearts. He's working things in our character. He's working things to strengthen our faith. How many of you know that in the wilderness season, what God is doing is He's taking things out of us that don't belong. Amen. And He's depositing things in us that aren't there. And if it wasn't for the wilderness season, those things would not be taking place in our lives. So we can say, thank you, Lord, for this season, because this is a necessary part of getting where you want to take me. And it's not wasted time. And it's not time that I'm giving up, but it's valuable time, God, that you're working in my life. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, I just want to emphasize some specific things that God Himself said to the children of Israel that He was going to do in them during their walk through the wilderness. And how many of you know that He intended for them to walk through the wilderness? That as they processed through the wilderness, that God wanted to do these things in their lives so that they could be prepared to move to the promised land. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, it says, be careful to follow every command that I am giving to you today. Now, how many of you, when you read like a command and obey, and it's like, you know, for many of us, it's kind of like we get this natural reaction on the inside. It's like, oh, here's another command. Here's another thing that I've got to do. I want you to follow. Let's look at the rest of this sentence. He says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that, everybody say, so that. So that you may live and you may increase and you may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. He said, if you want to live and you want to increase and you want to enter the promised land, then obey my commands and do what I've called you to do. See, so many times the enemy has us convinced that it's all a bunch of rules and regulations. How many know he's just a good father? He's just a good father, and he gives us things to do because they're necessary and they're for our good. And he's just saying, look, I'm giving you the steps right here. And if you will just trust me and you will embrace them and you will make them priority in your life, then you will live and then you will prosper and then you will multiply and then you will enter into the land that I have for you. So then the commands of God aren't burdensome, but they're a blessing in our life. It's a blessing to meditate the word day and night. It's a blessing to return the tithe into the storehouse and to give free will offerings to the Lord. It's a joy to let our light so shine before men. So the commands of God really are the steps that God has prepared for His children. God loves us enough to help us to get there. And so it goes on to say this in verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. Who led them in the desert? The Lord your God led you all the way in the desert or the wilderness these 40 years. And then he begins to name off some of the reasons why he brings us through the wilderness season. These things can't happen in our lives unless we go through the wilderness. It's in the wilderness that these preparations are made in our lives so that we are ready for the next step. See, we want the next step without the preparation. Maybe you don't, but many times in my life, I do. Okay? God, why don't you just give me $1 million? I just would love for you. Why don't you? I thought that at one point in my life. Why don't you just, every Christian, you know, every Christian today, God, it'd be nice when they go to their mailbox, if they just got $1 million check, why wouldn't you give us $1 million? Right? I mean, have you ever thought anything like that, or am I just that simple? Okay? Because it would destroy us. Many of us, me. If I can't be faithful and steward and tithe off $100, what would I do with $1 million? Preparation of my character to handle it. Preparation of my heart to hear the Spirit of God to do with it what He wants to be done. Preparation in my life so that I can be ready for my promised land. See, we have to allow the Spirit of God to prepare us. So in this process, He says, remember how I led you in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep His command. There's a lot just in this one verse to humble us. And whether we realize it or not, all of us need to be humbled. Would we just own that this morning? We need to be humble. So many times we don't even see, and you understand that when you step up on this platform, you're just the same. I'm not preaching to you. We're discussing the Word of God together. These principles apply to all of us. To humble ourselves. So many times it's so easy for us to see what everybody else needs to do and how they should do it and when they should do it. And I told the early service, I know a lot less now at 45 than I did at 25. I used to think I could tell everybody how to raise their kids. Well, you should just do this. I read this book. It was a great book. And if you would just do steps 1, 2, and 3, but how many of you know it changes when you get in that season? And we would be wise to remember that we need to humble ourselves daily before the Lord. We need to live a life of humility. We need to live a life that pours out grace on other people. So many times we don't have grace for other people, for the splinter that's in their eye. We can name their splinter. We can describe their splinter. We can tell them how to get their splinter out. And we don't even see the huge cross tie that's sticking out of our own eye. I mean, that's the reality. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Amen. See, that's the problem with being deceived in our heart, is that we don't know it. And the only way that we can see when we don't see is when we keep ourselves humble before the Lord. The wilderness season will humble us, because it brings us to a place where we can't do anything. We can't move the mountain. We can't move the train. We can't do it. It's going to take God. God, it's going to take you. The wilderness season will bring us to a place of humility. God, I can't fix my marriage. God, I'm not the husband that I need to be. God, I can't pay my bills. God, I know that I don't know, but I know that You know. He brings us through a season of preparation to humble us. And then it says this, and to test you to know what's in your heart. Many times we think we know when we really don't know. I mean, I do. So many times we've got the answers and they're the wrong ones. So many times we stay frustrated at God and our circumstances and other people because the answer that we have is the wrong answer. And we're living by the wrong answer. I asked this question earlier this morning, and I'm going to turn around. How many of you brushed your teeth this morning? Raise your hand. I hope you did. When you squeezed that tube of toothpaste, what came out? Toothpaste. What kind? What kind of toothpaste came out? Crest, what? AIM, Colgate, Close Up, Aquafresh. I like them all. Together at the same time. That's good. How many of you know when that tube was squeezed, what was in it came out? See, it's not until you take the test do you know where you stand. The wilderness season will squeeze. Oh, I believe He's the healer. Squeeze. Ooh, do I? I believe God provides all my needs. squeeze. Bank account doesn't equate to what I got to pay. What comes out of me? Miss McCrae's a teacher. And the kids in the classroom say, Miss McCrae, you're such a great teacher. We've got it all down. We've learned everything. Let's just go to the next chapter. And she's going, okay, well, let's just see if you got it down. Everybody take out your pencils, clear your desk. We're going to take a test. And Nick, they take the test, right? Good to see you, Liz. And when I come back and I score a 53 on the test, it lets me know where I really am. Many times where I thought I was isn't reality. And so what God has to do is God humbles us and He brings us through the preparation season in the wilderness to test us. Not to say, ha ha, you failed, because any good teacher gives a test so that he can or she can help that student move to the next level. See, a test is intended to be a stepping stone to the next level. That's what a test is. You can't get to the next grade without testing out of the grade that you're in. And the wonderful thing about God, He is so graceful and He is so merciful and He is so loving that we never fail a test with God. He just works with us and tutors us and walks with us and prepares us so that we're ready to take the test again. Aren't you grateful for that? Aren't you grateful for His grace? Has anybody ever, I say we haven't failed it. Has anybody ever scored below a passing grade on one of the tests that God gave you in your life? Let me see your hand. Oh, it just feels good just to be honest, doesn't it? Anybody not have a passing grade this week in your life? Maybe instead of love, it was anger. Instead of in peace, it was anxiety. Instead of out of joy, it was oppression in our life. And God's saying, in the midst of your circumstances, let me work in your heart. Let me prepare you. Let me develop your character. Develop your heart so that you're ready to go to the next level. It's a season of preparation. Verse 3, it says this, He humbled you again. You think He's interested in keeping us humble? What is humility anyway? I mean, I don't have this in my notes, so what is humility anyway? Humility to me is thinking that, knowing that I'm nothing and He is everything. John the Baptist said it like this, approaching humility is I must decrease and He must increase. There's nothing good in me but Jesus. He is the good part of us. He is the good in us. It says that He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had ever known. Now, this is an interesting sentence to me. Because what it said was, is that God brought us into a place of hunger that we could not satisfy. He brought us into a place that we couldn't do anything about. See, that is the wilderness season. If you find your place in a season in your life where things are beyond your control, just know that this season is a season that God wants to work something into your life. He said this, you're hungry and you don't have a refrigerator. You're hungry and you don't have a super center. You're hungry and you don't have a 7-Eleven. So what are you going to do? He said, I brought you in this place so that you would be hungry so that I could feed you. They could have never known God. Who had been their provider up to this point? The Egyptians, their taskmasters, they could only have what they gave them. But in this place, God showed Himself faithful to them and said, look, you're hungry. And if you don't have me providing for you, you're up a creek. But I want you to know that I'll provide for you every day. Every day you can look to my hand because I'm going to give you fresh manna from heaven. And it's going to be enough for the day. See, they could have never known Him as provider unless they were in a need that they couldn't provide themselves. See, God allows us to come into the wilderness season in different arenas of our life because we come into that season and then we can come to know Him in ways that we could have never known Him before. I can only know Him truly as my healer, not the healer, in a wilderness season. I can only come to know Him as my provider, not the provider, in a wilderness season because it becomes personal. I can never know him as the one who is the orchestrator and the maintainer and the covering over my marriage until I see that I can't hold it together. It's going to take God. Then he is the covenant keeper in my marriage. See, the wilderness season works things in us and prepares us for things that we never would have had we not walked there. And then he says this, to teach you, everybody say teach you, that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God says in the wilderness season, it's a season not only to be humbled. And it's not only a season where God wants to test us, but it's also a time where God wants to teach us some things. It's a time of teaching. We have things in our life that we need to learn. And here's the thing about it. Some of those things we realize, but some of them we just don't know. We don't realize that we need to know some things. And God says, this season is necessary. Amen. Smile. This is a good word this morning. The wilderness season, because here's the reality. Many of you in this room, including myself, have areas of our life that we're smack dab in the wilderness season in our life. And this is good news. It's good news because it's a part of God's process. It's a part of the journey on the way to the promised land. So now I know. Oh, now I know, God, that you're at work in this season. Now I know that I can embrace this season. Now I know what you're up to. God, what do I need to learn in this season? God, what do you need to teach me? I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to get my notebook out and I'm going to stay at your feet and I'm going to listen for your voice because, God, there's some things that I need to know. God, teach me. God, prepare me. God, humble me. God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. In this season, God, I humble myself before you, God. God, I know it's a barren season. God, it's a hard season, and I don't understand this season. But God, I humble myself before you. God, help me to be a person, God, has a right spirit. God, a teachable spirit. A spirit, God, that surrenders to you. And then he says this. He said, not only do I want to humble you and test you and teach you, but in verse 5 it says, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son. Oh, here we go. We like this one. So the Lord, your God, disciplines you. So it's also a time of testing, time of teaching, and it's a time of correction. How many know it's easy to get off course? It's easy to get off course. And we get off courses in areas of our lives. And I just want to take a minute to remind you of this, Steve-O. Thank you. There's a difference between punishment and discipline. Something that burns in my heart is to know the heart of the Father. See, Jesus came all throughout the Old Testament. It's great. I have books on this that goes through all the names of God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Makedesh, all these different names as God revealed himself by his name. But I love the fact that when Jesus came, he came to reveal the name that's all-encompassing. He came to reveal God as Father. 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 Now, when we start talking about fathers, I know we get into an area because earthly fathers, their divine design given to them by God, us earthly fathers, our primary responsibility is to model our Heavenly Father to the next generation. And many of us have done a lousy job at that. And many of us grew up under a father who didn't mirror what the Heavenly Father is like. And because of that, when we think about God the Father, it's not necessarily a name that we want to run to. But God is the perfect Father. He is a Father. A Father that can be approached. A Father with whom you can be honest. A Father with whom you can walk and talk It's just, doesn't that blow you away? That Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen. He didn't give all these Hebrew and Greek names. He said, you've seen the Father. Daddy God. Daddy. 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 What's a daddy going to do? What's a daddy going to do? A daddy's going to provide. A daddy's going to protect. A daddy's going to take care. A dad's going to go before and lead the way. A good daddy. He's going to be all of those things, but they're wrapped up in one name. Abba, Father. So a good father corrects his children. Is Jillian in here? Okay. A good father doesn't embarrass his children. Corrects his children. Correction and punishment are two different things. Punishment is retribution. Correction is guidance. It says here that he disciplines us. He corrects us out of a heart of love, out of a heart of compassion. I know this isn't a verse, but you know, this hurts me more than it's going to hurt you. That's really the heart of a loving father. This hurts me to discipline you. It's not out of anger, and it's not out of frustration with you, and it's not because you're giving me a bad name, boy. It's because I love you in your mind. And I don't want you walking off a cliff. I don't want you walking in front of an 18-wheeler. I don't want you putting your hand on the hot plate. And because of that, I'm not punishing you for messing up. I'm disciplining you. I'm correcting you. I'm redirecting you out of a heart of love and compassion. And a good father does that. How much more our Heavenly Father? So the Bible tells us that correction in the midst of it, it doesn't feel very good. But at the end, it yields something. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, God is about the end result. And He knows how to take us there. So if He needs to test us, to show us some things that need to change. If He needs to teach us so that we come out of ignorance into the truth that makes us free. If He needs to correct us so that we get back in alignment. He is willing to take us through the wilderness season. Because He loves us so, so much. So I can say, it's a good day. I'm in the wilderness county. Population, whatever, me. I'm here, God. But I got a tent up. I'm not building a house here. Because seasons were always meant to change. No season was ever meant to be permanent. God never intended for a whole generation to die in the wilderness. He fed them. He clothed them. He was with them. But all the while, they would not be taught. They would not be humbled. They would not be corrected. And because of that, they remained in a place that God had not prepared for them. It was supposed to be a passing through. So many of us in here today, in some arena of our life, we're passing through. We're passing through a season in our life. And for some of us today, I believe what the Spirit of God wants to do is He's awakening us and He's opening our eyes so that we can see, God, I haven't been handling this season right. How many of you know it doesn't do any good to stick our head in the ground like an ostrich and just hope that things change? Don't work. You know, I can choose not to balance my checkbook, and I'm not going to check my balance online, and I'm just believing everything's okay. How many of you know that's not a smart way to live? Because that check's going to bounce just as high. Or debit card or whatever it is these days. God wants us to know so we can embrace the season. I can embrace the season. God wants to fill you with joy about the season that you're in. Find the joy in the season. God, I'm in your classroom today. God, I'm on your operating table today. God, I'm in your hands today. I'm on your wheel today as you're molding me and making me. And how many of you know that if we'll get on with it, how many of you know that this season will be in the rearview mirror? This season will be in the rearview mirror. Preparation leads to planning. It leads to tending, leads to growth, leads to maturity, leads to harvest in our lives. And God wants to bring us to the land of plenty. He wants to bring us into our promised land. But we got to embrace the season and let the Spirit of God begin to work things in our life that He needs to work. So that's point one of six. So there's 5 minutes left. I got 5 points left. You think I could do it? I'm going to let you out early. That's not really early, is it? It's early for us. Let's stand to our feet real quick. What I'd like for us to do today, this morning, as we close, we're going to close with a song, if that would be okay. And in the midst of our, we'll finish this message tonight, because there are some other critical points. It's not just about the preparation. There's some other important parts of this season that we're in. And if we know them and can embrace them, then we can let God have His way in this season. But everybody just close your eyes real quick if you don't mind. And we do this so that we can set ourselves apart, set our eyes on Jesus, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, is there areas of my life that what's going on is that I'm in the wilderness season in that area? Just go ahead and ask the Holy Spirit. Just ask Him, if you're in that season of preparation right now, just ask the Holy Spirit. He wants to talk to you. That season where He's so necessary to do things in your life, so necessary to dig down deep, so necessary to lay a foundation, so necessary to help us to see and to help us to change. Now, if you would just say this morning, if the Holy Spirit's identified something in your life, and you just want to say, see, all we can do is participate. All we can do is surrender. All we can do is make ourselves available in this season to listen and to see and to hear and to obey. And we do that by simply starting off by surrendering to God. And no one else is looking around, but this, just take one moment. Just say, if you're in a place where you just need to say, God, I want to participate in the process that You have begun in this season in my life. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to find the joy in this season. I'm so excited about the fruit, God, that I'm going to bear coming out of this season. God, that You put me around so many unlovely people. God, that You're working love into my life. God, You're putting in me in such a season, God, that God, I'm going to come out of this so patient and so have goodness, God, coming out of my life. God, I'm going to be long-suffering. God, I'm excited about the character change that You're working in my life. But if you just need to embrace the season, just quickly raise your hands up to your dad, to your father. Just raise them up and say, okay, Father, I'm with You. I'm on Your agenda. I'm on Your timetable. I'm with Your plan. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. God, I repent. God, I repent of frustration. God, I repent, God, of doubt and unbelief. God, I repent of anger. God, I repent of blaming You. God, I repent of having a hard heart. God, I pray that You would create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in this season. A right spirit in this season that I can walk through this season with joy. I can walk through this season with joy, God, because the Master Potter's hands are all over my life. All over my life. Dig in deep, Potter. Dig in deep. Do in me what You want to do. Not my will, but Thy will be done, God. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Thy will be done in Jesus' name.